with the afternoon service. Again, we're in the middle of a section and we're looking at Ephesians 6, where we have specific details of how the believer is to face and stand in resisting satanic or demonic attack. And so, you know, I mentioned last week I wasn't going to maybe do a big review today. I've been doing lots of reviews. And so instead of a review, I'm going to do a little verse medley. You know, sometimes it's nice to, you know, come back and see things from a farther perspective. You know, and as Christians, I think we live in a unique time. I think we're privileged to live here in, at this time in history. And so I just want to do a little verse medley and just bring some things. It'll tie in to our defense against Satan or demons. And if I have time, I'm going to keep an eye on the clock to see we will look at one of the specific attacks from Satan. But I want to do this verse medley and just lead you through some of these verses. I know when we do this, you know, this is a time where you kind of have to be a little bit involved as far as following along in your reading. It's not a, you know, when I do a verse medley, it's probably not the best time to take a nap. I know. If it gets warmer, we will we'll look into maybe air conditioning. But let's just go with what we have. So let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for your word. We're just thankful for the togetherness we share in Christ, for that relationship we have to you through our Lord and Savior. We just pray your spirit would continue to bless us in this time and in our time together and in your word through the fact of Christ's name. Amen. So, little verse medley. You know, when you think about as Christians, we have opportunities. Sometimes I think we can fail to recognize just what are opportunities. And so I wanted to just put together a little verse medley that maybe would jog your thinking a little bit, because we have lots of opportunities where we can participate in giving glory to God through our Lord and Savior. And so how does that fit into this series? Well, that even includes when we're under attack. That is an opportunity. That is an opportunity to give glory to God. And that glory to God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not going to do it independent of him. But we are given the privilege to be able to participate in that. So I just want to just run through some verses here. Let's start off. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And so let me preface this, you know, as we, you know, as we consider satanic attack, demonic attack, you know, and it's already been mentioned that anybody he attacks in the realm of our mind, our rational thinking. And God has provided us a specific way that we can defend against that and resist that. When we do that, we're not doing that in our own strength, not doing it in our own ability. But when we do it correctly, and that and the adversary flees, you know, God can have a purpose of that, and He gets the glory as we put into practice what He's provided. And so I'm going to go to 1 Peter 4:10 because we have mentioned here, this is one of the places you would go to demonstrate that a believer, each believer has a spiritual gift. You know, this is a supernatural thing that God provides each believer, is a spiritual gift to operate in the body in a unique way, in a way that gives God glory. And so you see in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received not the gift, a gift, a quality of a gift. Now, there's some in Christendom that want to teach, well, you can get more than a gift. You work hard enough, you might even earn all of them, right? Well, that doesn't line up with Scripture. But we know that each member does receive a gift. And so here, Peter says, and each one has received a gift, even so, minister the same or it one to another. And then we see as or similar as good stewards of the manifest grace of God. And so now you see it's going to tie in the next verse, verse 11, first class condition in the Greek, but I'm going to translate the fifth as the sixth. Since any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Since any man minister, let him do it as of the ability. That's the ability here would be the strength, which God gives or supplies. That God in all things may be glorified. How is that going to happen? Through Jesus Christ. It says, to whom is the praise? It's just a word for glory. To whom is the glory? And it says the dominion, just the might forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want to continue on here because there's a break here, and so if you are outlining, you get the petrines and you're outlining here, you might have a break here in your outline. But sometimes, you know, we want to see, well, what's the next thought that's following? Well, let's see what Peter says here. He says, beloved, it's just loved ones. Think it not strange. Stop being surprised. Stop being surprised concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. The fiery trial, the forge of refinement. We could say the refining trial would be a concise way to try and catch the underlying lining meaning. And so stop being surprised concerning this refining trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing or surprising thing is happening to you. But rather, strong contrast, verse 13. Rejoice, have joy. An aspect of the fruit from the Spirit and a mental appreciation for whatever circumstance or situation that God is allowing you. Rejoice, have joy. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And so just in as much or even as you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now these sufferings isn't talking about sufferings on the cross. This is sufferings that we partake in here and now because of our relationship to Him. And so we can have joy in that. We can have a mental appreciation as we're filled by the Spirit. And then we see that when His glory, in order that when his glory shall be revealed, we may rejoice. It says be glad. Again, we come back to the idea of rejoice. Have joy. Mental appreciation also with exceeding joy, with this exceeding exultation. So even as you partake, have a share in the sufferings of Christ, the risen and glorified one. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a package deal that comes with this relationship. And boy, are we privileged to share in this package. And let's go to another place. Let's just move on in this, you know, my verse medley. I don't know. I haven't kept track of them all, but I think like I always wind up in Romans 8 somehow. But let's go to Romans 8. And I want to pick up at 8:35. Here Paul says, who shall separate us from the love from Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, if I just left off there, that might be a little depressing. But Paul continues on and he answers, no, in all of these things, at least my Bible says all, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. And so, the word conquerors here, more than conquerors, it's reflecting one Greek word that has the idea of beyond victors. And so we are beyond conquerors or victors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, and that's one of the things that as Christians, you know, we are in this world, but we're not out from it. And we can live in it with confidence because God has us here at this time for a purpose. And we can fulfill that purpose, whatever that may be, as we learn to rely and trust in him who is faithful, who is dependable, who is reliable. You know, we, over in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we're reminded that, you know, just desiring to put the Christian life into practice doesn't guarantee a great response. Let's turn to 2 Timothy and look at that in chapter 3 and verse 12. Second Timothy 3:12. It says, yea, or also, and all that will live. And so all that will, the word will is the Greek word for desire, or wishing. And so all the ones that are desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus, doesn't say, just says desiring. Isn't that interesting? Just desiring, wishing to live godly. And then the next clause is the important part because it says in Christ Jesus. You know, there's many in professing Christendom that would claim to have a desire to live godly. But they're in their saying that or in their desiring that, They don't recognize what godly is, manifesting God's quality of light and flesh, and they don't recognize the privilege and the provision of being able to do that in our position of Christ. And so, for the ones, though, that are desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus, it says shall. It's actually a future tense. It will be persecuted. Now, what is persecuted? It comes from the Greek word that means to pursue, to follow. But when it's used in a context, it can that meaning can intensify, and it has the idea to pursue or follow with the intent to harm. Now, when we see persecute, we might be thinking about physical persecution. But remember, we have spiritual enemies as well. And so when I read this verse, I don't think it just intended to understand this as physical persecution. Pursuing to harm, either could be physically, but it can also be emotionally or mentally. When we're under satanic demonic attack, there is a pursuit to harm us mentally. And we start desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus. Well, guess what? There's going to be a reaction to that. Probably first in the spiritual world and potentially in the physical world. But that shouldn't hinder us. We shouldn't be functioning from based upon circumstances, situations. We shouldn't be necessarily taking the path of least resistance. The path we want to take is pursue God's will. We want to live as more than conquerors in whatever God allows us to be facing, not because of who we are or our own ability, but because of God's plan and purpose and what he enables us to do in a way that can be glorifying to him. And so that's kind of what it's all about, isn't it? Not about us, not about showing what we can do. It's about allowing God to show what he can do through us. Imperfect instruments, weak instruments, undeserving instruments, yet God can accomplish all that he wants to accomplish, and he can allow us to participate. And so, these are things I think that are important to keep in mind. When it comes to one of our spiritual enemies, the adversary, there's suffering involved when we're under attack from Satan or his demons. That's a mental suffering that is involved. Let's take a look. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And then it says here, be sober, be vigilant. The idea of watchful. Your Christian life, we got an adversary. We want to be alert. We want to be watchful. He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion. Fear. Fear causes people to move in the realm of their emotions. You can look at how fear affects people. People tend to not spend a lot of time in the rationale, in functioning in the rationale or the realm of the human spirit within their sphere. And Satan likes to create fear. But here we see, you know, God has a provision. And he says it in different places in scripture differently. Here it says, whom resists steadfast by the faith. There's a defense for this. The faith. There's a body of doctrine of how the Christian can meet this situation. And now he says, whom resists steadfast by the faith. He says, while knowing something, you're going to resist by the faith, you know, while you're knowing something. And he uses a perfect tense, while being in a state of factually knowing something. And so what is it that we're factually knowing when we're resisting by the faith this adversary, this spiritual enemy? That the same, it says afflictions, that's a word in the Greek for sufferings. The same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, this isn't uncommon. Fallen spiritual beings are going to have an interest in you as you desire to live the Christian life because of your relationship to Christ and your potential to reflect out Christ. And when you're under spiritual attack, it's not a pleasant thing. You don't associate the word suffering with pleasant. Being under a satanic attack is not pleasant. There's some mental suffering involved there. And so we got to be, you know, Peter wants us to be in a state of factually knowing this. You know, he doesn't want us to feel like, well, we're the only one, or I'm a little crazy, or, you know, other people wouldn't understand. No, this is something that's for the ones that are desiring to live godly in Christ. Yeah. There's going to be some spiritual resistance in your Christian life. And that's not the exception. That's not the exception. You know, but God has a plan in that. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:13 here. In 1 Corinthians 10:13. So here, Paul, he says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. And again, that word faithful, he's dependable. He's reliable. 100%. Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Now, this last clause is what I want to zero in here on. He says, but with, just intimately together with the temptation, also make not a way, but the way of escape, the specific way. You know, details are important. And God has specific ways that he wants us to use the provisions of grace. You know, when we're talking about the flesh, we're talking about body of doctrine known as the truth, you know, Romans 6. That's the way, the specific way we're going to have victory over the sin nature. You know, when we're talking about Satan, there's a specific way we're going to be able to stand and resist those mental attacks. In Ephesians 6, we're going to have to be empowered in our position in the Lord so we can do things by the might of his strength. And then we're going to put on the armor from God, the full armor, the complete armor, not part of it, the full armor. And we will ultimately, as we do that, the proper, we seek to do it his way. Yeah. We resist properly. Satan will flee. God gets the glory, and we get to participate in having brought God glory in a way that, by a way that he's allowed something into our life that we could only experience the victory as we put our Christian life into practice. And so I decided to just to do this, just to kind of bring to mind and to, you know, are we looking at these things as opportunities? You know, the world is going crazy right now. I mean, we live in an upside down world. I mean, there's so many things that don't make sense, you know, and I'm so thankful for my citizenship in the heavens. And, you know, you can watch it from afar and you can see it taking place. And then you can know, you know, that God still has us here. So there's a purpose and there's a plan and we get to participate in it. And as we participate in his plan, even little things, little ways that we could participate in giving God glory, it may be by putting on the armor from God as you're empowered in the Lord and resisting and Satan flees. Well, who's going to see that? God knows that. He's bringing himself glory in ways that we don't understand. We don't know. And so as we see the world losing its mind, well, we can just take it a day at a time. We can live in victory. We can participate in whatever God's plan is to the extent that God allows us to have opportunities to bring him glory in the way he chooses. He gets to choose. We don't get to choose. God's plan is marching forward. His decree is, guess what? It's happening. Everything he's determined will happen. And so, you know, what is Ephesians, you know, Ephesians 5, you know, buying up the time. It says redeeming the time. Let me turn there. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Five fifteen. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, accurately, akrobos, the adverb for, that's where we get our word accurate. So see that you walk accurately. He says, not as fools. And so the word fools here, though, is the word unwise, ones without wisdom. Wisdom, you know, knowledge of how to correctly meet a situation. So here he's encouraging these Christians to walk accurately, not as ones without wisdom on how to meet the circumstance correctly, not as unwise ones, but as wise ones, as ones with some knowledge of how to correctly meet whatever the circumstances or situation is. And he says in verse 16, redeeming the time. This, and just this word for time is our word for season, redeeming, buying out of the marketplace, the season. You know, we live in a rich season, I think, for buying up the season. There's lots of opportunities. You know, you have opportunities to interact with individuals, with other Christians. You can encourage them. Through the word, you can encourage them through the Christian life of being in a place of being filled by the Spirit. That can have effect on one another. You can be fulfilling the new commandment to love one another. There's no law against that yet. And so redeeming, buying out of the marketplace, the season, because the days are evil. They're malignantly evil. And this evil wants to spread, and that's fine. You know, all of this stuff isn't going to go unjudged. You know, that's being held off for the moment. That's fine. Let the world go whatever way it wants to go. We don't have to get caught up in that. Let's focus on the Christian life. Let's focus on the will of God. And so here he says in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise. Now, this word isn't a word for unwise. It comes from a root that has the idea with a reflective mind. And so with the alpha privilege. So wherefore be not without reflective mind or thinking. Don't be mindless, is essentially what he's saying. But rather, so here's the contrast. Don't be mindless, one without reflective thinking, but rather understanding, putting together what the will of the Lord is. And of course, he's going to go on in verse 18 and stop being drunk with wine, where is unsavingness, but rather be filled by the Spirit. Why is that follow, though, that be filled by the Spirit? Have you ever thought about that? Well, he just told them to walk circumspectly, accurately. He just told them to be buying up the time, the season, because the days are evil. And he just told them to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, guess what? We're going to need to be filled by the Spirit. That's why it follows there. Be filled by the Spirit. If you're not filled by the Spirit, if you're not being filled by the Spirit, it's going to be hard to walk accurately. It's going to be hard to be buying up the season. It's going to be hard to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so that emphasis of putting the Christian life in practice so that we can be filled, that the Holy Spirit makes up for we lack in Christ like this. Let me go over to 1 Corinthians. And I want to go to, let me think about this. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to 2 Corinthians. Again, taking a broader look at things, considering things in its broader context, perspective. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick up in verse 17. We have a reference to the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit from the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. And then this was a verse that was referred to earlier today. And then this looks at the Christian's potential to mirror out the indwelling Christ. And so, but we all with unveiled faces reflecting as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed or being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from one quality of glory to another quality of glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. Now, let's go over and let me read 4:1. Therefore, on account of this in the Greek, just diatuto, on account of this, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The idea of we faint not, we don't grow weary, we don't lose heart, Paul says here. Seeing we have this ministry. Now the ministry ties back to what he's been previously talking about in the context. Let's go back to chapter 3 and let me read verse 6 and 3:6. And so talking about God, the Father, who has also made us, he says, able or competent ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit makes alive. And so Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't grow weary. We don't lose heart. I'm going to jump around a little here in this context, but let's just take a look at where Paul is taking this. Let's pick up in 2 Corinthians 4:7. As we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out from us as to source. Now he says we are just troubled, just being afflicted on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, not abandoned. Cast down, it says, but not destroyed, not the idea of perishing, not being lost. Always bearing about in the by the body, we'll translate that. Always bearing about by the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. We'll translate it by our body. That's going to fit right in with godliness. And so he goes on, and let's go ahead and read verse 11 as well. He says, for we which live are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And then it says that. And I want to translate that. It's a Athena clause. I'm going to translate it in order of that. The life also of Jesus might be made manifest by our mortal flesh. Let me go ahead and skip down to verse 14. It says, knowing that he that raised up, talking about the Father, that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by, or here currently through, there's a textual issue, whether there's through or with, but through Jesus, shall present us with you. And Paul goes on, he says, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. Comes back to, you know, the glory of God. He says, for which cause, so here Paul uses the same word that he had used in 4:1. He says, for this, for which cause we faint not. We don't lose heart. We don't grow weary. But though our out man perish, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And he's going to explain this in the next verse with the explanatory guard. He says, for our light affliction, which is but a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but rather, strong contrast, at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, we're just coming back and just wanting to use this first medley to put to mind that our lives are filled with opportunities. We may not always see them as such. We may not recognize them as such. But as we trust in the faithful one, we can know that he has a plan and a purpose. We don't have to know necessarily all of the details, because we can trust him. And so we can put our focus on putting things into practice. And when it comes to satanic or demonic attack, we know his method. We know Satan's methods. We know that he wants to disrupt our thinking. He wants to put thoughts into our mind. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's just go to chapter 2, verse 11. And in the King James, we see the last word is translated devices. But that word could be better translated as thoughts. And so Paul says here, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his thoughts. The result of the workings of the mind, his thoughts. So he attacks, and his demons, they could do it the same way. They attack in the realm of our thinking. And so when it comes down to the way that God has provided Christians, a way to escape so that we can bear up under it, we can resist. And we know from other places in scripture that when we resist correctly, Satan will flee. You know, he's gonna give up when he sees he's not successful, because the believer's doing something correctly and by the provisions of grace and in the strength or the might of the Lord's strength and their position in Christ, Satan's gonna flee. He can't win that battle. He'll try and, he's crafty, he's clever. He'll come back later. You know, he probably has a scouting report to some degree. You know, you think of, you know, football. Here's my football analogy. You know, you want to scout the opponent. And, you know, most football programs, they have money that's for some of the coaches to spend the majority of their time looking at the opponent and creating a scouting report. What are the weaknesses? What can be exploited? You know, I wouldn't be surprised at some level if fallen spirit beings have a scouting report on believers, especially believers that are desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus. And so we got to be sober, alert. We got to be vigilant, on the watch. So that we can recognize it when we are on the attack. And so that brings us back to where I could pick up on a review here, but I'm just remind you a few things. Ephesians 6 is a specific detail of how we are to resist, how we are to resist those thoughts from the spiritual adversaries. And we know, you know, a couple things, because next week, Lord willing, I'm going to come back and we're going to come back and we'll review. I'll pick up kind of where I left off last week and reviewing some more utterances of God that the Holy Spirit can use in our thinking, in our mind, as we look at the sword of the Spirit. I still haven't finished reviewing the sword belonging to the Spirit. But let's just be reminded again of a couple things in dealing with this enemy. I hope today you can see when, as circumstances and situations arise, those are opportunities in your life. And that includes satanic attack. There's an opportunity to show God is right, and that his provisions of grace are sufficient and they work. And so we want to learn how to do that the right way, in the way that's been provided. And then Satan's going to leave and God gets the glory, and that glory comes through our Savior. But we know that we can't do it in our own strength. And so, you know, you always have to be thinking, that empowerment is needed. And it's interesting, it's tied to our position in the Lord, the Lord. In Ephesians 6:10, when Paul says, finally, my brethren, be, and it says strong in the Lord, but it's empowered, it's a passive, be empowered in the Lord. That title is important. Titles are important, have significance. Here, be empowered in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, you know, in the Lord, if he is, if he's the Lord, then whose will is it that we're seeking to do? You know, who are we trying to please? And so we're going to be empowered in the Lord as the head of the body, the divine master. I mean, there's a lot of things that could be tied to that title. And we see it's in the might of his strength. So, no, we don't try and do this in our own. This isn't about showing anything about our own self other than maybe we've gained some maturity to recognize what we can't do and what God can do. And then the other, and we keep emphasizing this, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor. And I keep emphasizing that because what I don't want is we review the sword belonging to the Spirit to be thinking in these, like these specific utterances that the Holy Spirit can use. And I've suggested, you know, you create a little bit of your own list. Why would I suggest that? Well, because you know your own thoughts. you know, what does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians? Who knows the thoughts of the man, but the man, the spirit of the man. You know your own thoughts. And so you're going to be in the best position to find the specific utterances from God that the Holy Spirit can use. But we want to make sure we don't rely on the sword belonging to the Spirit as a shortcut to defense. We still have to be empowered in the Lord and the might of his strength, and you still have to put on the full armor from God before you get to using the sword belonging to the Spirit. And so that was kind of the first medley for the day. It was a little bit of a review, something different. Lord willing, next week we'll come back and we're going to talk more about the sword belonging to the Spirit. I did allow myself some notes if we had time, but I've been having a hard time keeping these August messages shorter, so we're going to stop here today and let us go out and live as ones that are more than conquerors in Christ. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your work. We're thankful for your faithfulness. And, we're just grateful to be a part of your plan and purpose. Thankful for the time that you have us here on earth and the opportunities, the circumstances that you might allow in our life, because we know your grace is sufficient. May we do those that rest in that. And we will thank you. In Christ's name. Amen.